Welcome to Lack of Focus, an X-Wing miniatures game podcast brought to you by Dice 8 Productions. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another episode of Lack of Focus, episode 42, the January points predictions. I am your unseen host, Ed Horn, and alongside me tonight, our producer extraordinaire, one Mr. Chris Sheriff. Chris, how's it going, my friend?
I don't know. We'll see if this actually works, seeing as Skype decided to just say no, and we are on like a massive deadline.
Exactly. So this has been a rough week for us. Now, I jokingly said unseen because we are doing this over Discord, over the Dice 8 channel, Discord channel, because for whatever reason, Skype decided to crap out on us, and we had some scheduling conflicts, so we're trying to get this all squeezed in one night. So you're going to get a bit of a truncated show, we think, but we're still going to try to give you the most content that we can for this, because we got some points to go over. So let's get right into... Oh, yeah, and one other thing. We are down a man. Unfortunately, Sean was not able to join us tonight. He is not feeling very well, so we're just going to soldier on without him. So, yeah. Moving on to Flight Deck. Chris, what have you been doing lately?
Not playing X-Wing. this is going to be the best X-Wing podcast ever. Yeah.
Welcome to the club.
I had a bit of a break over Christmas, and then I had the opportunity to stay late on Friday after work and get some games in. And I went upstairs, and everyone was purred up. There was nobody waiting. And I was like, you know what? I'm not hanging around for 45 minutes. I'm going to take the opportunity to just go home. And I sleep.
Spend some time with the family? Holy cow, that's a great idea.
Well, it was still... So I only finished work at like 20 past 9 in the evening. So I was still only home at like 10. But, you know, it meant I actually got some sleep, and I was working Friday nights, and then Saturday mornings were the only shifts I was doing. And the Friday evening one was for Dice 8, and then the Saturday morning one was my part-time job, basically.
It looked like you were on stream, if I'm not mistaken.
We streamed a couple of different things. I did some interviews with Greg and Renee about like their board gaming stuff from 2019. I was on stream playing Gates of Delirium. I've done a few board games, and it's good. I still enjoy it.
Oh, good. That sounds like it was tons of fun.
Yeah, and then, I haven't played any X-Wing, but I did buy, on Boxing Day, I got all of my Amazon gift cards that people had sent me for Christmas from the UK, because it's easier than buying actual presents.
And, it's better than mailing actual presents. How's that sound?
Yeah. Well, I know. I paid to send out all of the Patreon rewards again.
About that.
So I bought Jedi Fallen Order. So I've played that a little bit. I was trying to talk a
little off. We were talking about that a little on off camera. What are you thinking of it so far?
So caveating everything I say, in that I really don't like games where timing is an issue, so like having to parry or dodge or like force slow spinning things so that I can jump on them. So I'm not a fan of that kind of gameplay, and yet I still really enjoy playing Fallen Order, so it must be good.
It is. That's probably the one thing, the force slowing thing, because I don't know how that's functionally working, because it's a new force power I don't think we've seen before.
Well, so I suppose Kylo kind of does it in Force Awakens, isn't he? When Poe shoots at him right at the start, kind of.
Is he force slowing that, or is he just holding it with the force, though?
Either or, it's all good. But it's that kind of thing, though. You can compare it to: is it actually just force speed that you're doing rather than slowing them?
Yeah, see, and that's probably the one that I like better. I like that analogy better because it would make much more sense. Because there's a lot of things like and again, I'm not trying to spoil the game for anyone who hasn't played it yet. There are obstacles that are in your way that you need to slow them down to get past them.
Every planet has some turbine. Just all of them. Yeah,
exactly. I'm not spoiling too much. I think it's in the trailer, so like I don't think I'm spoiling too much. But like there are crazy things that you can do. Like you can force slow everything else and like dodge blaster bolts as you're going through, which is really neat. I think I'm more inclined to think with you it's more like force speed, but it appears to you like everything else is slowing down.
Yeah, I'm really, really bad at that kind of game. I'm I just don't have the patience. So I'll figure it out. So, okay, so when he does this attack, I need to do this dodge, or I need to attack him this way. But then I'm like, you know what? I just don't care.
Yeah, I just want to hit you with a lightsaber, so yeah. I don't want to dodge anything.
I just want to mash my buttons. So all I've been doing is once I get up to a boss, I'll have like two or three runs at it, and then if it's still just banging my head against the wall, just drop the difficulty a little bit, then I'm playing it for the story. I'm an old man. Leave me alone.
That's what I do. My oldest says he feels it very reminiscent of like playing some of the Uncharted games. So if you've ever played any of the Uncharted games, it's very similar in its gameplay. It's really cool. I'm really liking the story. I'm not all the way through it yet, but I love the fact that they put out a single player Star Wars game that is strictly story based. I mean, the action's there. It's absolutely there, but
yeah.
I'm with Chris on this, and I'm there for the story because I want to know how this character fits in, because this is Disney. It is canon, so all of this happened.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, that the story seems really good. So I've done the first planet, obviously the intro planet that teaches you the controls, then the first planet you actually fly to. I've got off that, and I've flown to my second real planet now. And I played for maybe 45 minutes and then I had to like put it down and be a grown-up. But my plan is that I'm going to like hammer it for 4 hours a week, but in one block. So I'm trying to like pencil off a block of time to just play it rather than trying to squeeze in like 10 minutes here and there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to squeeze in like an hour a day if I can to try to get it in there and there. It's not happened as much as I want the last couple of days, but I'll get back to it.
I think an hour a day would be more achievable for me. But I've got so much other stuff to catch up on. I've got a few like commission paints that I've had to do, and
I posted up.
Well, I mean, I say commission paints. It's all for friends and stuff like that. So the guys who got me the Plo Koon from Worlds, I'm painting some Legion stuff for them. So I posted a picture on Dice 8 of the General Grievous that I just painted.
I did see that.
That was for Patrick. So Patrick actually played on stream at Worlds. Narrowly missing the cut on the last dice roll for day two of those.
But, we may have talked about that one.
Yeah. But that Grievous is his, so I need to return that to him now that it's finished.
Excellent.
But yeah, so there you go. I'm doing a lot of that. I went to IKEA today because Evie's ready for a big girl bed now. We took the side off the crib last week and she's hasn't fallen out of it excessively much. So we're going to get one of the extendable beds that can go out into a full twin size bed once you do it all the way.
I hope you have a very similar experience that I did with my youngest daughter, which was once she had her own bed, like that's the only place she wanted to sleep. And she was very happy to go into her room, go into her bed and go to sleep.
Oh, she loves sleeping already. So we're all over it. It's good. She has the same hobbies as me and Joe, you know, sleeping.
Sleeping. You guys get along well together then.
Also, I now have all of the songs to Frozen permanently going through my head all of the time.
That's been good. It's the parent radio thing. My wife used to have the same thing where she'd be sitting in a car and like one of the babies would be crying. We're on a long car trip and she would just start spouting off like songs and she'd go.
Do you
like,
want to build a snowman? Do you like, want to go and play? I never see you anymore. Come and open up the door. Oh my God, just kill me.
Welcome to be a parent. It's awesome.
It was going fine. And then I was like, oh, maybe she'll like Frozen and she'll sit and watch a full film with me. And she did. All she wants to do. Every time if I've been in the basement, I've been doing the taxes and stuff recently. So I'll go back upstairs from doing that. And then she wants to come back down. So we've only got Disney Plus on the big TV in the basement. So she wants to come straight back down the basement. She's like, Dad, downstairs, downstairs, downstairs. Like, Frozen, Frozen, Frozen. Okay. Please, just stop.
Oh, the number of times that we've gone through the same movie over and over and over.
Yeah. I know that I'm reliving every parent's normal life. But I'm just like, what about Finding Nemo, Toy Story, you know, all of these.
Anything else.
So
you're at stage one of parenting. Stage two is where you start recognizing that you're enjoying what you're watching. When you're like, oh.
I didn't mind the first three I think the first five viewings of Frozen were okay, because we're not doing it in one sitting. We're like, I'll let two songs, so you're talking like 15 to 20 minute blocks, and then she'll be happy to go and do something else. So I get her to say bye to Frozen. And then we've got my the Cthulhu Death May Die, the giant like 3 foot Cthulhu. she was scared of it for some unknown reason. You know, a 3 foot ancient one is pretty scary to a 2 year old.
I can imagine.
But now it's like, say bye to Cthulhu. It's bye Cthulhu.
you didn't go as far as I did yet. You didn't buy her a plushie Cthulhu, did you?
No, not yet. she gets to point at its toes and its hands and its tentacles.
1 year we bought my youngest son, a plushie face hugger, and he still keeps it in his bed most of the time.
I bought her a giant shark today in IKEA. She's been... So if it's the upstairs TV, it's baby shark.
Oh, God. Mm. That's almost worse, because you can just put
on
that on
repeat. On repeat. 2 minutes and 37 seconds.
You're contributing to that 10 billion views.
Oh. Pink Fong. Good. So that's my flight deck, Ed. How about you?
Oh, good. I oddly enough, did not play any X-Wing at all. I decided around Christmas time I was just taking a break from all of everything. So I took a break from recording for my other YouTube stuff. I took a break from pretty much everything. And now I've got some 2020 New Year's resolutions I'm working on towards the tail end of 2020 or 2019. I really started wanting to get more less soft and squishy in the midsection region. So I've started this program where I'm trying to get a minimum of 10,000 steps in every single day. So that basically involves me getting up from my desk at work and walking. And then when I get home, I'm hitting the treadmill for about 30 minutes every day. And I'm starting to see some results. So I'm happy about that. And one of my resolutions is to continue that to see if I can drop some weight and get under the 200s would be nice.
Yeah.
The other resolutions I've made is I want to take my YouTube channel a little bit more serious. I had a goal of getting it at 1,000 subscribers so I can actually get it monetized, and I didn't quite hit that. So there's a few things I need to do to kind of revamp that. Like, and I was talking to Chris about this offline. I don't really do any social media for the site. I don't post anywhere for it. I just kind of like throw it out there, and it's all kind of just like other people just kind of coming to the channel, and I want to kind of start putting some stuff out. So that's kind of my goal. And then I've been playing a ton of old Nintendo games.
I saw lots of videos go up recently.
I have. There's a new one coming out tomorrow, which by the time you guys hear this, it should be out today if you want to check it out. I'm starting my playthroughs to some of the old classic Nintendo games. I started with Castlevania, which is a game I've never beaten, with the goal of trying to beat it. So it should be fun.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of League of Legends with... we got to play some fives with the guys from my crate. Carolina Crates and Scum and Villainy and all that. Oh, so cool. I've been playing some League of Legends.
Are you streaming that yet?
No. It's not just me, if you know what I mean. I wouldn't stream a game of fives without chatting to everyone else first.
But, no, I can understand that.
It's been actually pretty good fun because I'm one of the worst players. So like, obviously, it does like a ranking system, but we're playing five, so it aggregates everyone. And then puts you against a five-man team that's aggregated to be roughly similar. So I'm bronze one now. I'm climbing. You know, I'm pretty sure I'll make silver in the next couple of weeks if I actually play any more ranked games. But I was bronze one. You were
actually good at the game before, right?
Well, I've peaked at gold. I've never been higher than gold. But like, that was when I was maybe like 3 or 4 years younger. The game was in a good point for how I like to play. You know, I exploited the meta.
Oh, look at that.
I practically ran three defenders. but I was laning top lane on my own, bronze one, against a diamond four player, and didn't get smashed, so it was okay. That's good. You know?
That's good.
Although I did make Nami cry because he like looked at my CS. I think I got like 14 creeps at 10 minutes or something. It's like, yeah, but I'm alive and I'm getting the XP from the creeps, and I'm playing Malphite. So as long as I'm alive and compress my ultimate, we still win team fights. It's fine.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
That's a game that I never really got into, and I guess it's one of those ones I'm gonna have to try at some point in time. Those MOBAs, just like I maybe it's just me, I just never got them. Like, I don't get it.
You should play, man. It's pretty good fun. It's relatively addictive just because it's free, and it's like the games last just the right amount of time that you kind of, you know, I'll just play one more game. Oh, I've gone on to an odd numbered hour now, so I might as well just play one. It's like XCOM or like the football manager games, that kind of thing. It pulls you in.
I do the same thing with Magic too. So I'm like, if I get one more game in, I can stop at 10 o'clock. And then, well, it's 10:15. Oh, it's
10:05 now. Yeah, might as well push on.
Yeah, I might as well just push on. I mean, get three more wins and I'll be able to grind out all my wins for the week. And yeah. Yep. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into this. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's been good fun.
Good. Good. I think that's one of my other New Year's resolutions is my son suggested a long time ago that I should stream while I record so that I can kind of hit both mediums. And I'm trying to decide whether or not I want to do that on Twitch or if I want to do that on Mixer. And I think I'm going to go Twitch. I don't know yet.
I haven't looked at Mixer, to be honest, because I'm old and don't know new things. But
yeah, the only reason I even know it is because they took that big Fortnite guy, Ninja, and they brought him over and paid him a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
But to the best of my knowledge, I don't know that platform is doing much of anything. So I think I'm still going to go with Twitch for now.
Yeah, that's the joys of Monopoly, you know.
It is. All right, so let's get into some more X-Wing related stuff. We're going to roll. We do have some news. Obviously, we've got the new pack coming out with a new pilot pack we're going to talk about. But we're going to kind of roll that into our points prediction because it kind of works out perfect. So hot shots and aces and points predictions all at the same time. Yeah. So we picked out, what did we take? Nine pilots and upgrades that we wanted to go over.
Yeah. So a combination of pilots and upgrades. We've got nine, which we're going to do our points predictions on. Generally, when Sean was available, the plan was that we'd pick three each. But because it was just going to be me and Ed, we picked one pilot and one upgrade from the current game each. And then we just grabbed five others from the new articles, which we're going to try to just see if we can get the points on release.
Yep. See how we do. All right. So the last episode, we talked about a lot of pilots and a lot of ships when we were going over. It was that article, or it wasn't the article, it was what they had released on Twitch, where they were talking about the trigger points, like whenever it goes from one having three ships to four ships or four ships to five ships in a list. And yeah, the one that stuck out the most for me and will be my first pick is, of course, the beloved B-Wing. It's currently sitting at 41 points. I see that one going down to 40 points and being able to run five B-Wings. That's my pick, and I'm sticking to it.
So I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to say it's going to stay the same.
Ooh. See, oh, sorry. All right, so if you say going the other way, you'd say it would increase by a point.
So, yeah, so I don't think it's going to go down because I feel like it's better than the X-Wing now.
You're right.
So, and it's getting the S-Files. So, like, stabilized S-Files are going to be interesting.
But we talked about that, though. There's a possibility that they could lower the chassis. And this is the route that I'm going, is that they're going to lower the point value of the chassis, but they're going to make the S-Foils the 1 point, so you can't run five with S-Foils. So right. Maybe I should caveat that whole thing, that's kind of the whole statement. I think they're going to drop one because S-Foils are going to cost one. Is that fair?
Yes, I understand because I remember the conversation now. It's all footing back to me. But I'm going to hold my guns. I'm going to double down on FFG's laziness and just say that rather than doing that, they'll just leave it the same.
Yep, I could see that too. I can see that too. All right, so that takes it into your pick.
Okay, so my upgrade, I went for Crackshot because I believe we've had Crackshot on nearly all of them now. So I wanted to keep a trend going.
I think that's probably fair.
So Crackshot, I believe, is still the most used upgrade outside of stuff like landing struts on droids.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm going to have to check this now.
You mean from the worlds list? Yeah, no, I think that's right.
Yeah. So if crack shots everywhere, is that a kind of thing that FFG is going to address?
Hmm. I would think so. I think that's probably a safe bet. And it is dirt cheap at 1 point right now.
Yeah.
Old first edition, that makes it a half a point.
So what's your, it's my turn to go first.
I was just going
to
say, so, I'm not giving mine yet. It's all yours.
I'm going to say that it, I feel like banking on FFG's laziness is the winning formula. And I'm going to say that it doesn't change.
Ooh, now that's interesting. I thought after all of that preamble, you were going to build up to it saying it's the most widely taken upgrade. I was going to go the opposite direction. I am going to think that it's going to increase by 1 point.
See, I think it should.
I think it should.
I don't know that it will.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll find out.
So two.
So mark me down for a plus one there.
Yeah, I've got you down. Plus.
All right. So for mine, I had to go a little bit complicated. And my upgrade is going to be the R2 Astromech. For those who aren't familiar, that is the one that if you review it, you may spend an energy to gain a disarm token and recover a shield. Currently, it is based on the agility of the chassis carrying it around. For 0 and 1, it's 3 and 3. For 2, it's 4. And for 3, it is 6. I think we're going to see, I want to say a reduction on the low. They'd probably do it the whole way across. All right, I'm just going to dive in with it. I'm going to see it's a 1 point across the board. So it's going to come in at 2, 2, 3, and 5.
So you think it's going to be 2, 2, 3, 5?
Correct.
How much is it right now? Again,
it's 3 points right now, base. So if you are agility 0 or 1, it is a 3 and a 3. Agility 2 is at 4, and agility 3 is at 6.
So I think the regening Jedi are a problem. So let me. So this is really weird because it still charges you the price as if it were 3, even if you reduce your agility down with the config.
So you're talking on yet another squad builder, you mean?
Well, no, as in that's how it works. It all anything that's costed, anything that's variably costed, takes the attribute printed on the ship card.
Oh, really?
if you put Delta 7B onto Anakin, it doesn't make R2 cheaper on him. He still pays the 6 points as if it were so I'm going to say 3, 4, 5, 6.
Interesting. So when I can see that. So basically on Anakin it would stay the same price.
Yeah, so on it, because no, I can't even say that then. It needs to go higher, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
So,
that's why I was asking.
Oh, damn it. I need to work backwards. So
yeah, you've got to
start go to 7.
For an increase, 6, you've got to start 5. With Anakin.
There isn't a zero agility ship that can take it, is there?
Not currently. That's FFG future proofing.
Yeah, that's fine. And I'm going to say 4, 5, 6, 7 then. So are we going to do the sum of it just to make the math easier at the end?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. I'll work that out later. So the sum of all of it, you've got 12.
Correct.
I've got 21. Ooh. Ooh. This is going to be the decider on its own. And I don't think any of the others matter.
I could be it right there.
Okay, so
your upgrade.
I did my upgrade first. I went. I didn't do my.
Oh, that's right. You didn't do your pilot. That's right.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say the Cavern Angel Zealot, the Initiative 1 X-wing, currently 41 points.
Interesting. Now,
they hinted heavily that 5 X-wings would be a thing. So. You've got the Blue Squadron and the Cavern Angel Zealot, both currently sitting at 41.
Correct.
I've said for a long time that I am against the fact that the Cavern Angel Zealot is the same points because it has an illicit slot. So you're losing one initiative, but gaining the illicit slot, which doesn't do anything unless you spend points on it, which I hate. So I've said for a long time that I think that the Cavern Angel Zealot should be cheaper. But because I hate myself, I think the Blue Squadron Escort is going to be 40 points, which would mean the Cavern Angel Zealot should have to be 39.
Ooh.
But I'm doubling down on FFG being lazy and it just being 40 points as well.
All that preamble to say, yeah, I think that one's going to go by my one.
Yeah. So I feel like it should be 39, but I'm going to put my money on 40 because why would they break the habit of a lifetime?
Right. See, I thought you were building a case for the actual Blue Squadron going down to 40.
Oh, I think that will go down as well. I think they'll both be 40, but it should be the Blue Squadron's 40 and the Cavern Angel Zealot's 39.
Oh, geez, that could be interesting.
Well, I hate the fact that, I've paid a point for the ability to spend more points.
There's a lot. All right, so there's a lot to that, though. So there is something to be said for being at Initiative 1. I know a lot of folks don't remember what it's like sometimes to just intentionally put ships in there strictly for the reason of blocking. But there is something to be said for having an Initiative 1 ship over an Initiative 2 ship.
I agree, but that means it's getting the illicit sort for free then.
Yeah, which they're not keen to doing. I see where you're going. I agree. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, you're doing a good job. That's fine. So have you talked yourself into it costing like more than the blue then?
I think I have for that reason. I think I could see the blue going down to 40 and the Cavit staying the same.
So you think it's going to stay at 41? I feel like I'm just baiting you into saying this now. you're allowed to say we'll stay the same and you can put the same as me. It's okay.
No, I'm going to stick to it.
41, okay.
41, but the Blue Squadron goes down to 40.
Okay, I'll make a note.
So you can run 5 of them, but you do not get the illicit slots for those.
Okay. Then we have... Do you want to do Captain Phasma first? Now we're into the actual new ships.
Oh, God. Yeah, absolutely. First of all, we got to talk about Captain Phasma before we get too far into it. So Captain Phasma, they have put her in a TIE SF, which I feel is appropriate. Her ability, she's coming in at Initiative 4. When you defend after the neutralized results step, another friendly ship at 0-1 range must suffer a 1 hit or a crit. Damage to cancel out the resulting match. So this is sort of I'm trying to think of the ability. There was another ability in first edition that Biggs used to always take. What the hell was it? Oh, it'll come to me later.
Oh, Selfless and Biggs just used to be the same thing, basically.
Yeah, but there used to be an EPT that you could put on to someone to actually take.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day. Draw Their Fire. Thank you. I was going to say, I could see the art in my head, but I'm drawing a blank on the name. But this is a mandatory. This isn't a may. This is a must, which is interesting because if she's by herself, the ability basically does nothing. But if you load her down with a couple of, toadies to kind of fall around her, she could get really difficult to kill.
I'm just sad that it says friendly. For obvious reasons.
Obviously.
Initiative 4, there's like same as Backdraft. So correct. Do you think she's better than Backdraft?
No, I don't, because I like Backdraft's ability better for the additional attack die.
I agree. So I wouldn't put her at costing more than Backdraft.
She'd probably squeeze in right between that and the Omega Squadron. So this is going to be where because there's a big gulf between 34 and 39 points.
Yeah.
Whose pick is it? Is it my pick? It's my pick?
Yes, it's you. So Backdraft is 39.
I'm trying to put my mindset in the mindset of a FFG designer saying with knowing that they have the ability to adjust points after. I think we're going to put her at 38. I think they're going to overweight that ability just a hair. But it's definitely under Backdraft. So I'm going to go in at 38 points.
Okay. So Ed's got 38. Phasma. Let's have a look. Let's have a thing. 38 points seem really good.
It's like right there in that sweet spot.
Would I take her over Backdraft at 38? Probably.
It depends on your style. If you're going swarmy and you're going to go with a bunch of other like,
it's still less than 40 points, so you can still put multiples in there.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going back and forth on this because I'm trying to avoid copying you?
Maybe.
I'm going to go 38 as well. Screw it.
All right, so we're gonna tie out on that.
I do think Backdraft's better.
I do. That's why I think you should go.
Backdraft costs 39. So using logic.
Yeah, and we're basing that on, we don't know that Backdraft doesn't get a points bump. Personally, I think the whole chassis might get adjusted, but we'll see where that goes.
So slight tangent, it's X-Wing related, so I'm pretty sure this one's okay. But if you're gonna change the SF, I would like the base chassis to, especially for the named ones, I think you could put a couple more points onto the named and drop the points of Special Forces Gunner.
Ooh, there's an idea.
So, like, make quick draw cost, 47 and drop Gunner down to 8 points. So the combination's still the same, but then the generics can get the Gunner a little bit cheaper. So yes. Then you could run 5. Oh, no, you still can't do 5. I don't know.
Yeah, you can. If you went with a Zeta and Special Forces at 8, you could do 5.
Can you?
Yeah, because it'd be 40 points even.
I'm still looking at the X-Wing stuff. I'm on the wrong faction.
Gotcha. There you go. Yeah, no, Zeta Squadrons come in at 42. Zeta Squadrons come in
32, yeah.
Exactly. So if they drop Special Forces, and this goes into that whole mentality that you're not punishing all of the pilots for one pilot being really good with one upgrade. Yeah. Not punishing all of them for that, just punish that one ship. So keep, you know, increase the points in that one pilot and lower the other areas so that if you were to take a generic, it would be fine. No, I agree with that statement.
Yeah, I think that. I feel like 5 Zetas with Special Forces Gunners would be really good.
It'd be pretty scary.
But I don't think it would be over the top of anything that's currently in the meta.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
So maybe I'm wrong, and like people can tell me how wrong we are. But that's. But anyway, yeah. So back onto Phasma, we're both saying 38 because she's slightly worse than Backdraft. So
yeah, no, I think that's a good sweet spot for her.
So then the next one I wanted to look at. This one's from the spread. The K2 Soul Crew card.
Okay.
So, during the system phase, you may choose a friendly ship at range 0 to 3. That ship gains a calculate and a stress token.
Ooh. So,
you don't, like, doesn't just be near me in the system phase, have a calculate, there's a stress. Oh, you haven't moved yet? Did you dial in a buoy? Oh, good.
Yeah, just blow that right off.
Fair enough. It's not focus target lock. But that pretty much guarantees any of the ships calculate target lock.
Which is almost as good.
Yeah.
Almost as good. Especially if it's a 3 attack die ship, it's almost as good. Yeah, I could see that.
So that is a really good crew.
Yeah, it is.
So.
I assume that is Republic only?
Rebel only, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I meant to say that. Yeah, it throws me off that we don't have the Galactic Republic. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's have a look. So Cassian, at the start of the activation phase, you may choose one friendly ship. So if you've got Cassian and K2SO, he gives him a stress and Cassian just removes it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because that's where you start wondering is where does it fit in?
Yeah.
What ships can take it? The Ark can take it.
U-Wing, Ark, Falcon.
Attack Shuttle,
Shifa Peed, VCX.
Oh, so they have plenty.
Yeah, there's lots of crew. I think the K-Wing's got crew, doesn't it? That's the only gunner.
That's the first thing I said.
Yeah, the K-Wing. Yeah. K-Wing's cheating.
Mm-hmm. 2400 can do it.
Yeah.
Is it just one crew slot?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so it is restricted. Okay.
So let's have a quick look at some other crews then, shall we?
Yeah.
So Perceptive Co-Pilot gives you a focus token if you take a focus. So gives you double mods and is 8 points. 3PO gives you a calculate after a calculate, which is 8 points. Leia is only 6, and she's like the best thing in the game. So it seems like when the crew get better, they get cheaper for Rebels. So I might, do I get points back if I take this? I don't know. So top end of the crew is 12 points for Kanan. Obviously, you're paying for his force point.
Right.
It can't it can't be less than five when you look at, like...
No.
Yeah, no. Whose
pick is this one before we start getting our numbers?
This is me. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, I'm convoluted now. Are you ready for this one?
I'm ready. I've got a number in my head. I want to hear yours.
I think that this crew is just as good as Leia, so I'm going to price it at the same as Leia, but I also think that Leia should cost 8 points. So I'm going to say eight.
So I was going to go for the middle ground. I was going to go for the middle ground between Leia and 3PO, and I was going to place it at 7 points to start.
Okay.
But that's tight.
At seven for you?
Yeah, because I agree. I think Leia is undercosted at six still.
Yeah. She could go up to seven, and then...
She could, and then they'd be the same points cost. And I think I think that's a genuine debate between the two.
Yeah. Oh, you know, why not both?
Why not both?
There's two crew slots on the Falcon.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
All right, up next.
This was your pick, wasn't it? You wanted Rush.
I did, because there is something about this chassis, this is, again, for the TIE Silencer, that they really like playing with initiative for some reason. You had Null that came in at zero, but acted at six until took damage. This is the reverse Null. This is the ship where you actually want it to take damage. Comes in an initiative to rush all the same things in the TIE Silencer. While you are damaged, treat your initiative at six. Now, granted, you don't get a very long time to take advantage of that because there isn't a lot of shield regen of any kind that I'm aware of in the faction. So you're really looking for four hull points coming in at initiative six, but I really like that. What starts to play with that is technically you're buying an initiative two silencer with the hopes of getting it to initiative six.
Yeah, hopefully I'll die and then I can be good. Oh,
wow. Right. You're hoping for bad things. That I want to blow off my two shields so that I can get this to six.
I hate it so much. And this is okay. Where are we for silences?
Okay, so obviously,
you're up first with this one anyway. But
I'll start discussing some of my logic. Obviously, yeah. It's not Kylo. Kylo's paying, you know, an extra premium tax for the force points, so we're going to kind of negate him. So the next one that comes in is the Initiative 5 Blackout. Is he better than Blackout? No, I don't think. He does have a higher initiative, but it's at that juncture, you're basically having an Initiative 6 generic. So I don't feel that he's better than Blackout because Blackout comes in with his abilities. So I would place him somewhere in the neck of the woods of either Avenger or Recoil. 58 points for Recoil, 57 for Avenger. And I feel like that's where that pilot belongs. Because Avenger's coming in at initiative 3 and is at 57 points. And a lot of that is the chassis and what it's capable of doing. So
I'm with you. I'm looking at Avenger and Recoil now. Obviously, Avengers Initiative 3 at 57 points with what I would like to read as a blank pilot ability.
I agreed.
Recoil is 58 points with an almost blank pilot ability. If you want to load a lot of points into, the proton rockets,
mm-hmm.
You can do a decent attack. Or if you want to put a little bit of points into crack shot, you can do a decent attack. If you're stressed, you get crack shot because it can't have been in your bullseye. But, you know, effectively blank pilot abilities there.
Effectively.
Then first order test pilot is also... So, in fact, yeah, there you go.
Blank.
Yeah, it's the same points as Recoil, and they both have EPTs. So Recoil's ability is free. It costs you 0 points. Yes, good. I fucking hate you, FFG, so much. I've just ruined myself for the game.
So, would you pay, and this is kind of my point, would you pay 57 points?
No, in fact, no, let's look at it as first order test pilot, yeah?
Yeah, so exactly.
If at 58 points for a first order test pilot, you're getting an EPT and then the chassis slots. So
correct. Now we don't know.
Are we going to? Do you want to assume EPT or not? In fact, no. To make this easier, we'll assume EPT.
I think because, you kind of have, because all the named ones seem to have it.
At least
on this chassis.
If you think of it as, for 4 hit points, you're 2 initiative less than a first order test pilot, but for your last 2 hit points, you're 2 initiative more.
Correct.
So is that good? Especially considering those last 2 hit points could be lost to the same attack.
It's a fair argument.
Oh. And you're up first, so...
So I'm going along with your line of thinking. I like the first order test pilot is kind of like the... Again, if we take into consideration that we're basically looking at a blank pilot ability, I'm on board with the fact that it is probably 2 points less... 2 points puts it below Avenger, though, which is also basically like, yeah, no, I think I'm still sticking to that. I think it might come in at like 57 points. It might come in at an Avenger stats where you're paying for the premium that you're paying for Avenger is the fact that it technically has an ability, but is always going to stay initiative 3. But at that same point cost, you can go 1 initiative lower for the possibility of having it come in at a 6. So I think I'm going to shoot for 57 points.
So I want to say that you're completely correct there, but if I'm trying to remember, did they say that these are going down or not? Because it was Max not playing First Order.
Oh, yeah, no, First Order was the least represented at World,
yeah,
by far, but that may have something to do with the fact that they've only got a couple of ships.
So I'm going to say that it costs, because I have no faith in FFG judging this correctly. So I'm going to say that they cost the same as a First Order test pilot.
Coming in at 58.
Yeah, right. But does the First Order test pilot get cheaper, though?
All right, so how about this? And that's a good point. So, because we could get way off. If they, let's just say, and I'm going to throw this as an argument. Let's say as a broad stroke, they lower the chassis by 2 points altogether. We're going to be off by those 2 points. So maybe on this one, and we'll just make a special case for the silencer, we say we take our base points off of whatever the first order test pilot is and go plus and minus those points. So in my instance, it would be 1 point less than whatever the first order test pilot.
You're saying minus 1. So you're saying it's 1 point cheaper than the test pilot.
Right, and you're saying that you think it's the same. Well, that you may change that.
I think it's the same points as the test pilot.
Okay, so whatever the test pilot comes out to.
Yeah, I think they're going to look at it the way I said, that for 4 of your hit points, you're a little bit worse, but for 2 of your hit points, you're better. And being 6 is better than being 4 exponentially. So I'm going to say that it's the same.
All right, I can stick with that.
Okay, then we get to go to one that I'm actually really excited for. Fifth Brother.
There we go.
Yeah.
So we finally get a new TIE Advanced V1 pilot, Fifth Brother, coming in at initiative 4. While you perform an attack, after the neutralized result steps, if the attack hits, you may spend 2 force to add a 1 crit result. I love his ability. I hate the chassis that it's on.
The thing I really like about this is how it compares to Seventh Sister.
Yes.
Because obviously Seventh Sister is when you attack, you can spend 2 force to neutralize, so you get crack shot effectively. So she's more consistent at hitting, but when Fifth Brother hits, he really hits you hard.
Yes.
So, and that's just running it as if you were not cheating and using the homing missiles that we talk about.
We'll take that to a side for a second.
Yeah, so homing missiles are... it's a 4 dice attack at range 2 to 3 for a missile. After you declare the defender may choose to suffer 1 hit, 1 damage. If it does, skip the attack and defense die steps, and the attack is treated as hitting.
To which it then would add an automatic.
So you're not skipping the neutralized result step,
mm-hmm.
which is where Fifth Brother's result would be important. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then the question becomes, is it better to take a guaranteed hit crit or...
Well, that's the point, isn't it?
That, like, take the risk of 4 attack dice.
Yeah, I think you let them roll a dice at that point most of the time.
With 2 force tokens on board, though?
Oh, that's actually a good point there, aren't you?
So that is a challenging question. Because would they find out? Yeah, absolutely. Could they roll worse and then they've got 2 force tokens to modify those?
It's target locking 2 force tokens.
Uh-huh.
That's... I'm going to have to do it, aren't I? X-Wing probability. It's Gates of a Storm, but I can never remember to like type it all in properly. Okay, so 4 attack dice with 2 force and a lock. And we are shooting... How many defense dice should we... What are we shooting at, Ed?
Let's do an average of 2. Say 2. Take your basic...
I have a focus token as well. Okay, so where are we? At least 2 hits, there is an 87% chance of him doing at least 2. So you've got a 46% chance of him doing at least 3.
Mm-hmm.
So if you let them roll a dice, there's a 55% chance that you made the right call, assuming you can, assuming they don't roll a crit.
Now, when you're doing that calculations, are you including the focus tokens or are you just including the target lock?
Yeah, I've got it set up to spend both his force if needed.
Gotcha. That's tight.
Oh,
all you need is slightly above average dice rolls. That's where like it becomes a really difficult decision on whether
or not... I think it depends on the game state, to be honest, at that point. Then it depends what ship he's shooting at. If I can afford to, like, if that's fell, he's rolling the dice.
Oh,
like,
God, yeah.
Yeah. If it's
a B-wing,
I'm probably just going to take the hit, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So now...
But I'm bad at the game, you probably shouldn't listen to me.
Would you rather take Seventh Sister at 43 points, or do you feel that his ability is stronger having that conversation we just had?
Do you want to know? Obviously, you want to know because that's the point of the show. Come on, Chris. It's not that hard. I actually value them both evenly because they are both. Where has he gone? Yeah, we're both initiative 4. Obviously, it's the same chassis, both initiative 4. We've both got 2 force points. Having played Seventh Sister a lot in my 2 defenders and Seventh Sister squad, I'm not using her force points offensively most of the time anyway. I will be honest, because of the squad that I run them in, I would be taking Seventh Sister because I can't afford the missile. So I want to guarantee my the reliability of my 2 dice attack. Being able to crack shot something all the time is pretty good.
Agreed.
So on the base chassis, that's probably worse.
Because it needs the homing missile to make it better.
But the homing missile makes it like stupidly funny and good, providing you can actually get your lock, which Jendon does for you. Spoilers, this guy mm-hmm. with Jendon, because that archetype squad needed a buff.
Yeah.
But I would say this is worse than Seventh Sister if you're just looking at the chassis.
And they don't, they tend to not do that because they kind of get an idea what's going on. But I can agree with that.
Because Seventh Sister, so it's a 2 dice attack. Seventh Sister has crack shot all of the time. This guy, if he gets the hit, I think I definitely feel like, so this is to quote how I used to talk to Bob, but my gut tells me that Seventh Sister's better math.
I would agree with that.
So Seventh Sister's 43. I'm going to say 42. So 42 points.
42 points it is. I happen to feel that the two of them on face value have about an equal value. I recognize that he does need the homing missiles to make him ridiculously stupid.
That was my initial thing as well. They're both the same. One knocks a defense off, the other adds a hit at the end.
Mm-hmm. All intents and purposes, have the same ability. So I was going to go with 43 points, have them even.
I could see. I don't think I'd be upset if that happened. I've gone completely against what I've been doing the entire game, haven't I? I've given FFG credit.
You have.
If I lose by 1 point now,
you're losing by 7 points with the astromech.
Yeah, somehow we did it wrong on the R2 astromech, but if I lose by 1 point now and it's fifth brother,
that would be it. That would be where you lost it.
Okay. Do you want to do the last one, Ed? I'll let you pronounce this one.
Oh, God. Do I have to? All right. So we elected to go with the M3A interceptor. Gregor.
G4RGOR V/M.
in the M3-A interceptor. It's an alphabet. Yeah,
I'm definitely going
Gargamel. I don't know.
Yeah, it's someone out of Harry Potter. I don't know.
All right, so he is coming in at initiative zero, which is important. You defend, each other ship at range zero suffers one critical damage. That's each other ship. That's yours, that's theirs.
Yeah, you know what would make this really good? If Scum had a way to let you attack your own ships.
Hmm.
Do you know what Scum has a way to let you do it?
Attack your own ships?
Yeah. So I was actually looking at this because the cheapest way to do it is the Kamara Goon at 31 points with R5 TK as the astromech, which lets you attack your own ships. So I'm kind of like, I want this to be a real combo, but I'm trying to think of how much I'd be willing to pay to pull this combo off.
Wait. Oh, see, it's an illicit, right? So he could take Dead Man's Switch too.
No, Cartel Spacer can't. So the Cartel Spacer or the M3A doesn't have an illicit slot.
Oh, boo.
Yeah.
That would have been hysterical. But, oh, damn it, you're right.
So the Cartel Spacer is 28 points. So that would make the combo 59 points.
Is it worth it?
I don't think that's worth it. So then it's like...
funny as hell, but I don't know if it's worth it.
So I would like to pay less than that for this.
Ooh, so, I don't know about that. Less than what is it, 28 points?
Remember what I said, I would like to pay less. I would like to pay less than 53 points or whatever it is for Suit EFL.
You'd like to.
I don't think you should let me.
We're going to be honest with each other.
We should like to.
I'm curious as to how much his initiative zero hampers that ability.
It doesn't, does it? Because it's a perfect blocker, because you move before everybody. Like, oh, you've got the initiative one vultures. I still move before you and block you. Hope you weren't relying on those calculates for anything.
Well, and then the funny part is, it's like you want to throw this ship into the fray because you want someone to shoot it. And you just want to ghost someone the whole time.
So even without the idiocy of shooting your own ship, remember you can target lock it, and then if you roll hits, you re-roll them so that they miss. And then you still, after defending, you don't have to have taken damage.
Yeah, it doesn't say take a damage. It just says defend. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. So, you can put
a turret on that, can't you?
On the...
Go back to your Y-Wing thing. Like
on the Y-Wing, yeah. Yeah.
I could absolutely put a dorsal turret on it. I'd still need to be close to him.
It's what I wanted to do, if I'm honest. When I was looking at this before the show, I wanted to... take a jump master, because I was like, the jump master's got the droid swap, but it's only if you put the title on it, which then makes it too expensive. But yeah, so you've got to use a Y-wing, unfortunately, if you want to do it cheap. But again, I feel like there's definitely leaning into that gimmick, which I think is a bad idea. I think I'm settled on where I would go. But
this
was, first.
I was going to say, this is mine first. That's right.
Yeah.
I went on and on and on about how there is an added benefit to having an initiative one over an initiative two. Having an initiative zero, there is a huge benefit to that.
That's exponentially better.
Yes, if used correctly. And I would think it would be a ship that most people, for the most part, unless they can get position on it, would actually avoid shooting.
If it's done its job, people probably choose not to shoot it, which lets it keep doing its job.
Well, and it's basically two free attack die floating out there as well.
Yeah. All right, it's got the 5K. It's got a 3K. It's got the 1 Hz. It's got the barrel roll.
This is a tough one. Because is his ability better than, like, Sunny Bonders, for example?
Well, not even that.
Because his ability is really good.
How much better is he than a Cartel Spacer?
Exponentially better, I think.
So, okay. Do we want to do the same thing we did for the silencer for this?
Where we base it off the spacer point. Kind of know where we would need to go. It's exactly where I was just thinking. Because, all right, so it's exponentially better because A, it has ability, and B, it's got, in my opinion, a better initiative because either.
Yeah, for the job you're trying to make it do, its initiative value is better.
Exactly.
Because, like, I would pay, like, 2 points more than a cartel spacer.
Yes.
But I wouldn't pay 30 points.
Yeah, that's a fair argument, too.
Like, how many points is Sunny Binder?
30. You know it right in the head.
I would take Sunny Binder over this guy at 30. If they were both 30 points, would I take... Am I lying to myself here? While you defend or perform an attack. Oh.
After you roll or re-roll your dice, if you have the same result on each of your dice, you may add one matching result. So
it's heroic.
It's really an initiative one that has the potential. So it's basically like we talked about with the silencers, it's basically a blank ability.
So
thinking on those lines.
So that's what I said. I'd pay 2 points more in a cartel spacer. I'd pay more than Sunny Binder. This is hard. So cartel spacer, that was 3 points more than a cartel spacer, though. If I use that logic,
then you start getting into.
You're first. Why am I worried about this? You're first.
You're not. Yeah. I was just saying, we're talking through logistics because this is a tough one coming in initially. Yeah. All right, so I'll start the ball rolling on this one. I happen to agree with you that I would pay more points for this than I would put Sunny. So the question becomes is it fair to base, if we're going to go with a TIE silencer model of how we're doing this, we can't base it off of a named pilot because named pilots...
Yeah, we have to now do it off the bottom one, which is currently the cartel spacer.
Right. So I would pay 3 more points than the cartel spacer. So that would put it coming in at 31
points. Today. Yeah.
If they drop that by 2 points, then obviously we'll account for that. Because I think there's no other choice because I think this one is definitely getting adjusted.
I agree with that. I think I still think 2 points more than a cartel spacer is about right. But if that puts it at the same price as Sunny, I don't think you ever take Sunny. But if you take Sunny down to 1 point more than a spacer, I don't think you ever take a spacer because I don't think you run multiples of this ship.
All these are valid points.
How many have we agreed on?
Oh, God, I wasn't even keeping track. I think we've genuinely agreed on 2.
We've only agreed on 1 so far.
Yeah, this
one. So if we agree on this one, there's still 7 differences. So one of us will still win. There we go. I agree. I'm going to say +3.
+3 it is. So +3 from the cartel spacer is where we're going.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm done with that.
How bad off we are. When do these points drop again?
I believe the middle of January. So this episode comes out on the 7th. So hopefully before the next show. Because then we can talk about how we did.
That'll be a great follow-up show. All right, so as much as I want to sit down and ramble on, I know Chris is going to be able to get this to edit out. So I think it's probably a good place to kind of cut it there. Plus, I've got to get up and do that work thing in the morning. It's the downside of doing this during the week. So you asked me to remind you of something before we left. So I know we've got some cleanup to do. So let's start off with thanking one Mr. Damien.
Yeah, so Damien, a while ago, we actually spoke about it on the show when we were looking at the Nantex. He spoke about... doing the Spy versus Spy alternate art cards, and he did them and then sent some to us. So I have a Shiratech and Sunfak with 2 ensnares times 2. So because there isn't enough for me to keep one, send one to Ed and Chad and Sean, I didn't feel like it was fair for me to keep one at all. So what we're going to do is give them out to some of our Patreon listeners. So I will actually write this down for a start. I need to open that. Okay. So we will need some dices because I've been really bad at writing down who won.
Aha, I've got one right in my hand.
Okay.
The question becomes is if we're over a d20.
I don't think we are. Oh, maybe we are.
Uh-huh. I can break out the d30. I have to go look for it.
Let me double check because I discount you and Sean, remember?
Of course.
Yeah. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, we're good for a D20. We're good for D20 after I kick you guys out for being eligible to win.
Woo! I mean, boo.
So all I right. do have to apologize because Skype is not working. We can't show off the pictures for these, but I'll make sure I post them on our Facebook page.
All right. Are you ready, sir?
I am indeed.
And the dice roll, number 19.
Well, that is William Key.
Woo! Congratulations, William.
Okay, so let me add a note while it's still here.
Can thank my brand new metal die for that. I've always wanted to set up those things. Look, are so irritating.
I'm writing them down as I do it so that I can't forget. Okay, and
in
then
your, roll in your little notes tablet. Ooh.
Yeah, right again. The second set goes to.
Oh, a second dice roll?
Yeah.
And
obviously re-rolling 19s.
Of course. Number 10. Drum roll, please.
Oh, Paul Chavin. We've done it again, Ed.
What?
Our brand new Patreon has just won.
Well, they say that's completely inadvertent. That's how that works.
There you go, Paul Chappelle. Thank you for your support. And I will send you these out. I need to add a note.
Congratulations, guys.
Yeah. So I've just done the mail out for the last batch of Patreon reward stuff. So everyone should have a Roger to hopefully some people receive them already. Hopefully, I think so. But that
I'm in the States.
Yeah. You guys suck anyway. So it was $125 worth of postage.
Cool.
Yeah. That's why I went to only doing it like every like 3 or 4 months. So
that would be why.
You've just won. Even if you like cancel your Patreon now, you've still won. I will still send you them, but it'll go out in the next batch of stuff. So, you know, hold tight, don't panic too much. And I need to actually email Sam. I might see if he can print me some more of these because they were really cool.
Yeah, those are pretty badass.
You will like them when I show you them. And these arrived ages ago, and I put them, you know, kept them safe in my stuff drawer of prizes so that I didn't lose them. And then just forgot every time to bring it up. So like the last 3 shows. So I'm really sorry, Damien, for not actually thanking you for these sooner. Yeah, I'll make sure they get sent out to some lucky listeners. And hopefully you enjoy them because they are really funny and cool.
All right, you've got some other paperwork you've got to do.
You can get in touch with the show via our Facebook page, which is Lack of Focus Podcast. I thought I was dice it for a minute there. Lack of Focus Podcast on
Facebook.
We're
all under the same umbrella.
Yeah. You can join the Discord, which we now apparently record the show in because Skype hates us. I had a couple of extra people join, and like Ed figured out why he couldn't like see any of the messages and stuff.
My son signed in with a different account, so I have 2 accounts apparently. So he signed me up with the wrong account. But we got that all squared away, so now I've added that on my phone, so now I can see everybody putting stuff in Discord.
Yeah, we have an email address, lackoffocuspodcast@gmail.com. You can email us there. Any questions, any ideas, anything you want covering. I will be getting back to us posting doing our listener question segments again. We just skipped it on the last couple because obviously with Christmas show and then this one being a relatively tight short show.
Yeah. By the way, we didn't even say it. This is the first show of 2020. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Yeah. It's the 6th of the 6th now, so it's over with. I'm over it.
You're going behind the curtain. You're breaking the magic there.
we did tell them I've got to get this edited and out in like 3 hours or whatever. So
you did do that.
Yeah. I did want to take a moment. I had to go through and do the tax return. I was chatting to Ed about this earlier for Dice Hate, and I went through and actually got to like process all of the Patreon payments and everything, and it's a huge help. So I can't thank everyone enough for the people who do support through Patreon. It does honestly mean a lot to me. I'll complain and joke about the cost of postage and things like that, and it kind of makes it seem pointless. But just having that regular income to cover the regular outgoing bills means that when I do a spike of like $125 for postage or a couple of $100 it costs to get the Roger tokens done, because they're like one-off expenses, it doesn't really hurt the business too much. We still made a massive loss. I think we lost $3,000 in 2019. So I need to do something about that, which probably involves me like working harder and pumping more of my own money back into a business. But it'll all like settle down in the long run, you know. It, that said, even if the government makes me wind up Dice8, the podcast won't go anywhere. You'll be fine. You know, you'll still get to listen to us. We're growing all the time. You guys are awesome, all the listeners. And say everyone who does do that little bit extra of throwing us a dollar a show has been awesome. I wish we could do more. And obviously, I probably should do less. But we don't run the Patreon as a business anyway. So,
no, absolutely not.
Yeah, I've got plans. I'm chatting to Chris, who did our Roger tokens, and he's got some of the acrylic I paid for left over. He's going to recut some lack of focus tokens because I ran out of those. And I feel like that should be the standard token, and then everything else should be a bonus. So we're going to get some of those recut. They'll be the same size as the Roger tokens because they're a little bit smaller and match the FFG size ones. Rather than, I think the ones that I sent out to you guys already are slightly larger, but it's fine. I'm hoping to get those recut and then we'll go from there. I think I've got 10 sets of Roger tokens left, so if you want a set of them, you need to be one of the next 10 people to sign up, because after that, they're gone. There'll never be that set of tokens again. So there you go.
And those ones are going to be different than the first ones that came out, aren't they?
Yes. So if I ever... the only thing that I'll keep the same design for would be the target locks, but then it will be the numbers that will be different. Because I think we did 1 to 5 already. So I keep the same, but I do like 5 to 10. 6 to 10, sorry.
Those are the hard ones to come by, the actual first edition 1s to 5s. Did you end up ever getting rid of those?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Maybe did I not send you them already? I can't remember.
If you sent them to me, I did not get them.
Oh, maybe I got rid of them. I can't remember. Who knows? Maybe in my stuff drawer. And things to give, because I don't use them anymore because I use my lack of target lock tokens.
Of course. Well, those are the ones I use too when I play. Speaking of which, that is actually going to happen. I did talk to Chad and he's getting his mobility back sometime later this week. And the first thing he says, I got to come over and play X-Wing. I said, done. Let's do that.
Yeah. And we chose to not play on Vassal so we could record our Rise of Skywalker show and our Mandalorian show.
Oh, God. If you want to hear me go off on a rant, holy shit.
Yeah. They're still in the editing room at the moment. I've been taking my time with them because it's like in focus content. So it's not as big of a rush. And I knew I needed to get this done. So they will probably be out next week. I'm not going to space them out. They'll both drop probably within a day of each other. But you have that. And then, we'll try and get a game in. As we are exploring a little bit on Discord, we're not quite sure what's going to happen here and how we're going to go from here. But we'll hopefully have YouTube content of some sort coming back. And yeah.
Yeah, we'll figure this one out. This one was a weird little throw together game, and then by the time we get started, Skype decided to screw with us for whatever reasons. So we will get back to being on camera. I'm still in the habit of looking at the camera as I'm talking. I'm like, oh, right, that's right. And the little blue light's on because we're not doing video today. Oops.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's as good. I don't know. I don't think I have anything. I probably missed loads of stuff. That's why Chad's better than this than me.
Yeah. All right, so I've got that job thing in the morning, so that's where we're going to button this one up. So thank everyone for joining you. Thank you guys so much. It's always been a pleasure, and we are looking forward to more fun podcasts in 2020. So, Chris, always fun talking to you.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Ed, even when it all goes wrong and we have to suddenly figure out how to do it over Discord. And
scramble right out. Yeah, we got to get this working. Burn almost an hour of our short time to try to get it working. Yeah, it works out.
I think we've still done a good show here. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to seeing how the scores come out. All right, guys, so I do appreciate it. And until next time, fly casual. Thank you once again for joining the Lack of Focus X-Wing podcast. Check out Dice Hate Productions for all the latest episodes, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again next episode.